It's my privilege to be here at this Wednesday night Bible study. And I was thinking this afternoon that for over 100 years, people in churches across our country have been meeting in Wednesday night Bible studies. What a privilege. And tonight we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Two ladies were talking to each other, and one of them said, "My pastor can speak for an hour on any subject." The other lady said, "That's nothing. My pastor speaks for an hour without a subject." Well, we have a subject. It's here in Colossians, beginning at verse 12. The context is Paul's prayer. And in verse 12, we read, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." We're going to approach this passage by asking, what are the reasons for giving thanks? Perhaps you've come here tonight and you haven't really realized the reasons for giving thanks. But you know, giving thanks is one of the greatest things about life. The opposite of being thankful could be to be full of bitterness or to be grouchy or grumpy. One lady said to another, "Did you wake up grouchy this morning?" She said, "No, I let him sleep in." So it's good to be thankful. It's good for mental health, physical health, spiritual health. And here we have the reasons for giving thanks. What does this text teach us about giving thanks? Number one, we give thanks to God because He has qualified us for heaven. Now, qualified is a big word that we know a lot about in this life. All the way through school, we have to be qualified. At least it was that way when I was in school. I don't think it's quite that way today. I was reading recently that the only qualification for graduating from high school is that you could read. Well, we learned to read by third grade. Qualified for heaven. Think of that. God has qualified us for heaven. And that is a must. There will be no one in heaven who is not qualified. And you and I cannot qualify ourselves. Only God can do that. And by His grace and mercy, He has done that for us. We read in the text that we're qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And that inheritance is eternal life in heaven. And the word used for qualified means to make adequate, to prepare, to mend, and to make ready. God has made us ready for heaven. And as we sit here tonight, that ought to cheer our hearts and give us reason for great thanksgiving. It would be my hope and prayer that as we leave here tonight, we will leave as a very thankful people, with a spirit of gratitude that just fills our hearts, all because of God, what God has done for us. And he does this through the cross and by the Holy Spirit. The fact that we are qualified is all by grace. It's the gift of God, and we cannot qualify ourselves. Now, no amount of self-effort, no amount of good works we could do could possibly qualify us. It's only by what he does that counts in our behalf. Give thanks tonight because God has made us worthy by his power and by his grace. Do you like being qualified for heaven? Wonderful. That wasn't a very good yes, folks. Say amen here. That's wonderful. Now, the next thing, second thing, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. Darkness is a kingdom, and every unbeliever is trapped in that kingdom. And there's no way out on our own. This is where every unbeliever lives. This is where we were, living in a kingdom of darkness full of lies and deceit and evil. And when I read this passage, I think of Psalm 40, where David wrote that he was in a horrible pit, in the miry clay, and he prayed, and God inclined toward him and brought him up out of that pit. And it's dark down there. He's in a darkness. And someone has suggested that when David's down in that pit, that a lady came by with a book, the keys to the scripture. And she says, just read this and you'll get out. It didn't help. A young man in a white shirt and a black tie came along and said, I have the Book of Mormon. Read this book. You'll get out. It didn't help. Another man came along with his collar turned backward and said, read this, pray as you count these beads, and you'll get out. Didn't help. It doesn't help. There is no human help. Only God, with his strong arm of grace, can take us and deliver us from the dominion of darkness. It's a dominion. It holds us in the trap. And the word delivered means rescued, to be taken up out of. And David said, he brought me up out of the pit, clear out, and set my feet upon a rock. And tonight, as we are believers in Christ, we have been rescued. We have been delivered from that pit. We cannot deliver ourselves. Thank him tonight. were free from the dominion of darkness. Thank God he has done that for us. Now, the third thing that we read in this passage is that we have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So we've been brought out of and into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Translated. Translated means to be changed. We have a Bible here tonight in the English language because someone translated from Hebrew and Greek language so that we could read it in English. It was changed. We have been translated, changed, actually transported from one place to another, from the kingdom of darkness into a new kingdom, the Son of His love. Sometime this week, read John chapter 5, and you will learn there that the Father loves the Son, and the Son honors the Father. Their relationship is an encouragement to us for our relationships here on earth. How would it be tonight if we thought that God the Father and God the Son were arguing and were at odds and had conflict? Wouldn't be very good for us. They are one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, loving, honoring one another. That's why he says it's the Son of His love. We cannot translate ourselves. Only God could do that for us. If you're thankful you've been translated, say amen. That's wonderful. Be thankful for that. You and I have been qualified, delivered, and translated. Now, the next thing we read about in this passage is that we have been redeemed. This is a very familiar doctrine for most Christian people. By definition, it means to be purchased. And it sort of works like this. In the old Greek slave market of sin, a slave would be up on the platform, and the bidders would be out there, and they would bid and pay a price for that slave. And when the price was agreed upon, that slave left his old master and became the slave of a new master. That's what has happened to us. We were slaves to sin, slaves to the law, slaves to our own selfishness, and the Lord Jesus Christ paid an adequate price to purchase us out of that slavery and become our new master. And that ought to thrill our hearts tonight, to know that He is our master. We're bought, we're owned, and we are forgiven. And some people say, well, Bill, how much sin is forgiven? Past, present, future. Forgiven. Permanent. Can never be changed. We have been redeemed. Past tense. God has done it. We cannot redeem ourselves. Do we have reason to be thankful? Amen. Qualified, delivered, translated, redeemed. What a glorious God. Now, we're going to move on in this passage, and I want to read beginning at verse 15. In verse 15, we read, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have first place or the preeminence. Now, at first glance here, Paul has given us four reasons to be thankful. And then it seems like almost he's changing the subject. And we have a statement about Christ. But he isn't changing the subject at all. It fits very well because he is identifying the Son of his love who can redeem us. Who is he? What do we know about him? That's what Paul wants us to know. And he begins by saying, he is the image of the invisible God. And what that means is that Jesus Christ is God. He is as much deity as is God the Father. And we don't have ranks where it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, Jesus Christ, is the physical revelation of the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is the same as God. Paul wants us to know that. Don't ever think of him as less than perfectly divine. He is God, the firstborn over all creation. This term refers not to a chronology of birth, but a rank, a position. He has the highest position. God has exalted him and given him a name above all names, that at the name of Christ every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And if we are here tonight and we can make that honest confession, be very, very thankful. There are people who are going into eternity, but they will have to make that confession. Not for salvation, but just because it's right and true, and God requires it. Verse 16, for by him, by whom? Christ. For by Christ all things were created. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is the Creator. And this is not the only passage that reveals that. You have it in John chapter 1 and in Hebrews chapter 1, expressly, definitely declaring, proclaiming, He's the Creator. That baby born in the manger is the Creator of the world, who is to be worshiped. All things were created by him that are in heaven on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. There is nothing above him. There is no one above him. He is full of power and authority, and he has no rivals. And you can be assured of this. There will never be another Satan. There will be no one who will ever overthrow him and take him from the throne of glory and power. Where is he tonight? He is seated at the right hand of the Father in power and glory, and that's what he's doing for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, image of the invisible God, creator of all things were created through him and for him. You see, this life is not about us. This is really temporary. Eternity is permanent, and this whole thing about our life is for him. You and I are created for his glory, not for our pleasure or success or possessions, simply for him. Verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. What's that mean? He is maintaining his creation tonight. He's keeping it going. You think about life and how we look at a watch and say, Bill is going overtime. I mean, no, you're saying, we know the time. And how do we know the time? Because God is keeping the heavenly orbits exactly on time. And that's the basis of our time. And we are flying through space right now, 72,000 miles an hour. And we're not bumping into anything because he is maintaining the universe. Before you go to bed, thank him. Sleep in peace. Be thankful. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Well, we want him to be the head of the church. And we're glad that he is. And now Paul states the purpose for this. That he might have first place. And that's what we need to be careful about in our churches. Is he really first? Does he have the preeminence? And that's what I have to think about right now at this moment for my life. And because God has drawn you here tonight, you are not here by chance or accident. You are here to listen to this, that in all things he might have first place. Does he? What are the distractions that crowd him out of first place? What areas of selfishness make him second, third, or fourth? He is to have first place. He's worthy. He deserves it. We worship him. So Paul has given us this identification of Jesus Christ, the Son of his love. And there's one other thing we need to know tonight from this passage, beginning at verse 19. In verse 19, we read, "It pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." That is, the fullness of the Godhead is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20. "And by him," that is Christ, "to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether on earth or heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross," his cross, "and you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled." This is absolutely overwhelming. That God would take people like us, rebellious, sinful, selfish enemies, and reconcile us to himself. Reconcile is a bookkeeping term. It means to bring the accounts into agreement. And sometimes in bookkeeping there's a conflict and they don't agree. Now, my wife keeps the checkbook. Praise God. And she is a reconciler. Sometimes the bank statement and her checkbook don't agree. She will stay with it. She won't give it up till it's down to the penny. I say if it's within 10 bucks, round it off somehow. She reconciles it. We are reconciled to God when there was conflict, deep conflict. And conflicts need to be removed before there's reconciliation. How did God remove the conflict? By the blood of the cross. You can read it in your Bible. If you have verse 19, you probably have verse 20. Read verse 20. "Having made peace through the blood of the cross." There's no other way to have a right relationship with our God than through the blood of the cross. It stands firm forever. God has reconciled us, which means we are made right with him. When we come by the blood of the cross, there's nothing that can separate us from our God. So we have Colossians chapter 12 through 22. If you like it, say amen. Amen. Yes, it's wonderful. And we can go to bed tonight and sleep in peace, I think, depending on your mattress. And with great thanksgiving. I hope, folks, you leave here with a thankful heart. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, what a great Heavenly Father you are. Lord Jesus, blessed Savior, dear Holy Spirit, thank you for the position you've given us before our God. A position that's permanent, unchangeable, and glorious for us. We're thankful people. Help us to be thankful for each other and to pray for each other and to share the glorious truths of Scripture with one another. And we pray that you'll take this truth from the written page and place it into our heart so that we leave with this truth within us. To the glory and honor of Christ, we pray in his name.